Welcome to Pastor Aggressive, real life, real faith, real talk.
Here.
We got a lot to talk about today. Actually, we don't really have a plan on what we're going to talk about today, but I feel like, I feel like there's a lot of riffing going to be going on today. A lot of cool stuff. I mean, there's plenty to talk about, a lot going on in the world. Just a kind of a crazy time. But, I mean, isn't it always kind of a crazy time, though?
Yeah.
Like, we talk about, oh, this is the craziest. You'll look back in this in history and be like, this is crazy. But think of all the revolutions that have happened in the past. And
if Kamala Harris gets elected, the end times are coming.
Stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff where people just, like, go crazy and come up with all these, well, this is going to be it if this happens. Well, I don't know. I don't think that's it.
And in reality, it's always the same stuff going on in the world again and again and again and again.
Cool thing, though, I figured you would dig this if you hadn't seen it yet. Did you see that, speaking of things happening over and over again and again and again, did you see this thing that someone saw in a telescope and it looks like it's spinning inside of spinning? Looks like it's got 1,000 eyes and looks like a wheel within a wheel.
Dude, that goes back to the same thing we were talking about last week. When the end times are near, there's going to be crazy things coming out of the heavens, and there it is, dude. Ezekiel prophecy right there fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. There's like this, wild, biblically accurate angel someone saw on a telescope this week.
You think it was real?
I don't know, man.
There's so much AI.
I have no idea. It's so crazy. Like right now, there's this whole thing going on in New Jersey with these like drones that people are seeing, but nobody knows where they're coming from.
They're just Walmart delivery drones, bro. Like, can we stop? Can we stop being conspiracy theories?
It's not aliens or the Antichrist. It's Jeff Bezos, bro.
Which he is an alien and the Antichrist. So, I mean, it's all the same.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's wild times. This is what we're here for. We're here for such a time as this.
To laugh at.
Yeah. To have a good time and have. Joke about the craziness in the world. Before we get into too much craziness that's happened around the world, what happened? Anything happened in your life this week that was exciting?
Well, I know my friend Avery's going to hear this, but last night, me and the boys got together for the first time all in a while. We had this Monday night Bible study thing going where it was like six of us every Monday night.
Yeah.
And I didn't know these guys from a person on the street when I first met them. And they've become dear, close brothers in Christ, and it kind of fiddled out because my friend Tanner that was on the podcast just had a baby.
Yeah.
My friend Isaiah that we want to have on the podcast had a baby. First kid he's ever had. So
okay, cool.
He's dealing with parenthood for the first time, and he has like an acute form of autism where he's like emotionally deficient, so he doesn't feel emotion, and he came out last night, and dude, he was just glowing.
Yeah,
it was, dude,
awesome.
It was like I was seeing the glory of God in him. Like, he was just glowing, happy to have a baby. My friend Avery was there, and Jordan, and we don't see much of him anymore. He was there. But poor Avery, man, he was talking to this girl, and all us single guys, anybody who's listening can understand this, and Avery will hear this. Maybe I won't put his information out there, but he's seen this girl.
Like his phone number and address.
His social security number is.
In case someone wants to hit him up.
He was talking to this girl and things didn't go well. He thought they were going well and it broke his heart. And then the same day that happens, our mutual friend Tommy kind of dismissed him from the band they're in. And that broke his heart because he loves that band, man. He loves playing in the band. And I see how much joy it brings him. I go out to see him. Their band was called Caddo Parish. But he has an opportunity to go play for a bigger band, doing cool stuff. And he also has a music ministry on his own that I love, dude. I love going to see him play by himself. He plays gospel music just up there by himself. His voice is amazing. He's super talented, dude. One of the most talented musicians I know. But he's so humble. He's so humble and seeking after God. And I'm just praying for him right now. We should all be praying for this kid, man. I call him a kid, and he's older than me, but he's just a good guy, man. Some tough stuff's going on in his life.
Does he play music at church at all? Or is
okay. All the time.
Yeah.
We kind of, at our church, we kind of cycle, so it'll be like four different families a month or five different families. And we have so many people that play music, but he gets up there by himself, and he plays guitar, he plays bass. He's so talented, bro. And God, it's just a beautiful like testimony of God taking something from you that you love and you think it's the end of the world and turning it into something better.
Yeah, and that's right.
I am hurting with him right now, but I'm excited for him for what's to come. You know what I mean? Because we are promised through trials and tribulations that perseverance and better things will come.
Yeah, that God will reveal himself in that. And that's the hard part, is sometimes asking what God wants to teach you in those moments.
Oh, yeah.
It's really the only question we can ask. I mean, we could say, why is this happening? But God doesn't normally answer that question.
Yeah.
But we can ask, what do you want me to learn in this? And a lot of times he will reveal that.
Well, he doesn't answer it the way we want him to, is
right,
the problem.
Right.
He'll answer why he did it when he answers. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you'll know, it'll be abundantly obvious why he did it. And Avery's a man after God's heart, so he knows what's going on. But, you know, it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Trying to think of what's been going on in my life this week. Not really a whole lot. Too crazy. Just.
Are you still married?
Yeah. Tiffany just came down here. Tiffany just came down here to kiss me on the head. That was sweet of her.
I just wanted you to see that I wasn't in.
Yeah.
Pajamas.
Very nice. She's getting ready to be in pajamas. I'm
you
sure.
Don't let me
within
kiss
30
you.
Seconds.
You don't let me kiss you on your head.
I have a friend. His name's Ernie. He's not doing great right now.
I'm sorry.
He's got dementia pretty bad, and it's been a struggle for him because he's like he's a really intelligent dude, been a pastor for a long time, knows the word really great, and so like not being able to like form the words he wants to form has really been a struggle for him.
Yeah.
But I say all this only just to say, Ernie, really dear friend of mine, we used to go to church together, and he would always kiss me on the head like all the time. And he like takes that verse from the Bible where it says to greet each other with a holy kiss.
Yeah.
He takes that very seriously. Like, and it's cool. Like he was the kind of guy that I felt like that was, it seemed very appropriate from
genuine.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Orthodox Church, I was with Isaac, and Isaac, this guy gets up, and he's talked to me before, and he gets up and kisses Isaac, and I'm sitting there like with my like arms crossed over my chest. I'm like praying, dude, that he doesn't come over here and try to kiss me, dude. He gave me a hug or a handshake or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoo, wipe the dust off my brow, dude.
Yeah. Being bald, I mean, that gives a lot of options for, like, head kisses for sure. And it not being as weird,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's just attractive. It's, like, shiny and just, like, pulls you in. Dude.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like a beacon.
Yeah.
It's like a lighthouse.
Like a beacon of light.
Yeah. That's funny. Something you said when you're talking about your friends who are having kids and one of them being a dad for the first time, there's something really very tangible and palpable about becoming a father and understanding God's fatherhood and love of us, an unconditional love of us, that like the fact that you said your friend was like glowing after
dude,
that,
yeah.
Like that, I totally get that. It makes sense. It resonates, and it helps you to really like. There is nothing that makes a person feel the like unconditional love of God, like having kids. Because when you have kids, you understand loving someone so much, even when sometimes they're idiots and mess up and do things that they shouldn't do, and still loving them through that. You can understand that way better than you can just like. Your friends or whatever.
But one thing he pointed out to me was the blessing, was like seeing the abundant blessings of God and how having a kid for him was like, he just keeps seeing blessings that he doesn't deserve. And he was talking about this baby, his daughter, like something he didn't deserve. That was a literal gift handed down from God to him. And
yeah,
that's so
really
awesome.
Cool. I love that. Let's see. How do we segue into the conversation today?
We want to talk about Islam a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Islam. We're going to talk about radicalism just in general, and what that looks like.
Some things going on in the world.
Yeah, there are things going on in the world, and just like how do we distinguish the radicalism we celebrate and the radicalism that we condemn, right? And I think that's a very real conversation to have. It's interesting because a lot of the things that we'll say, well, this thing is right, can be very similar to something that we think is absolutely wrong.
Sure.
And it's all just about opinion and perspective. I heard somebody today on TikTok say that he was talking about people who think that it's ridiculous that Christians believe in the virgin birth. And he said, sure. Everyone believes in a virgin birth.
Yeah.
Either they believe in the virgin birth of Christ, mm-hmm. or they believe in the virgin birth of the universe. And I was like, oh, that's fire,
that's a
dude.
Bar right there, dude.
He was like, and I was like, man, that is, because he's like, you can either believe that Christ came out of nothing, he is the creator being, or you can believe that the universe came out of nothing, not a created thing. And he's like, but either way, you're believing that. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's kind of where we're at, is like, how do we distinguish the difference between the things that we should celebrate and what we shouldn't?
Well, let's not beat around the bush. I think what we were talking about before we got on was this incident of this healthcare CEO getting literally assassinated.
Assassinated, yeah.
Yeah. And how people are celebrating it, people are condemning it.
More people celebrating than condemning, though, I think. At least from what I've seen, it seems like a lot of people pretty stoked about it. Like, this is some kind of, like, revolutionary move or some vigilante justice or
but
something
not.
Like that.
You know, somebody else is going to take his place. And this guy just committed an abominable act that makes him just as bad. I mean, say this healthcare guy was responsible for killing thousands of millions of people. Well, this guy is now on his first responsibility of killing somebody,
literally
with his own hands.
And we've talked about this a whole lot the last few episodes, I think, about the idea of, like, when is it okay to take a life? And really, it's not. It's never up to us.
Right.
So some people will say, like, well, we see all these times when God, obviously God allows people to die, and we see all these times in the Bible where God even kills people, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, well, God is the author of life. He's the giver of life, so he can be the only one who can take it away.
Right.
The rest of us don't have, like, we are not the ones who breathe life into anyone, so that we can't be the ones that take away that breath.
Right.
And we've talked about that a lot. I don't think that we need to go into that part a whole lot. But I think it is interesting to see how people can kind of flip-flop and say one thing is like, this needs to happen, and then other people will be like, this is wicked. And then the exact same thing could happen for something that they support and change the whole tune.
Well,
an example I'll make, and I don't... First, I need to be very clear. I don't condone either of these acts.
Sure.
But I was making a point to one of my friends this week that this, like, people getting excited about this guy, well, he killed this billionaire and that was, like, corrupt and evil, and so now he's this vigilante hero. They even, like, gave him a weird, like, vigilante nickname. People were calling him, before they knew who it was, people were calling him the Adjuster, which is, like, an insurance pun, too, which is, like, okay, that's witty. The wordplay is fire.
There's going to be a Netflix documentary about this.
Yeah. But the thing about this is, now that he's been caught, people know who he is, or allegedly. I mean, they're pretty sure this is the guy.
Sure.
But it seems kind of almost like he meant to get caught so that his manifesto would get released and so that he can build more momentum for whatever movement people think this is.
Yeah.
And I will agree that the healthcare system is corrupt. There is, like, people in that position definitely make decisions that are like, how do we make rich people more rich?
Sure.
And in that specific instance, they're doing that by denying claims to people who need healthcare. Right? So there is, like, yeah, there's wickedness to it for sure. But it's not on us to decide who lives and who dies.
Right.
And so the flip side of this, I was having this conversation with somebody, and again, I do not condone what happened on the insurrection back January 6th, back in 2020, right? But I made the comparison there that, like, those people thought that they were, like, they thought they were in the right. They thought they were, like, doing a revolutionary thing by storming the Capitol, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, that's crazy. I can't believe that was allowed to happen. The government is just as corrupt as, like, CEOs. You know what I mean? Like, right. most of the people in the government are rich, corrupt people.
Well, and they're interlinked. I mean, the CEOs and the government are interlinked.
Right. They're in each other's pockets. And yeah. So I was trying to determine how this seems to have rallied so many people and unified them, mm-hmm. whereas that other is pretty divisive, right?
Right.
And that brought me to, like, I just started, like, researching, like, all the stuff that's going on around. And there's all kinds of this stuff is happening around the world right now. Like, I don't know if you know, but France last week, the prime minister or whatever, president or whatever they have in France, I'm not educated enough to know these things about geopolitical things. You know how I feel about geopolitical systems. But the leader of France was basically like, he was like, I'm gonna, he's like really unpopular mm-hmm. to the point that now people are like, we're removing him from power and their government is getting ready to collapse because they're like, they've like voted to oust him essentially.
Okay.
South Korea, their leader decided that he wanted to implement martial law and everyone just rebelled and ousted him. And now there's like a revolution going on there.
Bruh.
And then I was, I was like, people are getting hurt on both sides of that. But like, I don't know enough of either of those situations to know who the good guy or the bad guy is. Right. I can assume based on like how I feel about geopolitical systems, who the good guys and the bad guys are in this. But this led me down this rabbit hole, and this is where it ties into what you wanted to talk about today. There's this rebellion leader, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
He led a rebellion in Syria that, like, they freed a bunch of, like, captives and led a rebellion against their government in Syria.
Uh-huh.
And they've basically, like, again, taken that leader out of power.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is now trying to assert himself. Like, let me give you a little bit of background on him. So he was born in Saudi Arabia. All of this stuff comes from sources of the New Arab and South China Morning Post. So that's where all my, in case, you know, people are like, oh, you're plagiarizing or whatever. I got sources today. He grew up in Saudi Arabia, had roots in Syria. He was initially active in Iraq as part of Al-Qaeda, like back in, I think it was 2011.
Okay.
So this guy is like, he is a terrorist or was at one time an active terrorist. Okay. Sure. then he returned to Syria during the civil war, in Syria. And that, so that was in 2011. So before 2011, he was in Iraq as part of Al-Qaeda, okay. Returned to Syria during the onset of Syria's civil war, 2011.
Okay.
He then led Syria's version of Al-Qaeda for a short time. And then in 2016, he distanced himself from Al-Qaeda. Stopped dressing like a militant Al-Qaeda person. Uh-huh. Started wearing like suits and stuff. And he rebranded his group that he was leading as Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which a lot of people just call it HTS.
Okay.
And they started emphasizing regional governance instead of global jihad. Okay, so like, small government, influence your circle. Kind of like what we talk about with Christianity. Like, I'm not going to overthrow the government with my lifestyle, but I can influence people in my circle.
Right.
So kind of that, his own version of that, right? So now he claims his message of peace and love for all people is what he says.
Yeah, okay? Right.
All right? And I don't know this guy. I have no idea. This is just what I've read and what I've seen videos of and all this stuff. So he commands HTC, which is the most dominant rebel faction in Syria right now, okay. And led them to kind of overturn the regime in Syria. So now he's trying to become the head of the government in Syria, essentially. Like, he's trying to put himself into a place where he can be in there. But he claims to champion pluralism and tolerance and offer amnesty to his rivals and pledging to protect all of Syrians, regardless of their religion or their government affiliations, which sounds really good, right?
Right. Even though he used to try to establish
even though he was correct
worldwide.
Now, okay. People can change.
Sure.
But he's still, from what I understand, from what I've read, he still is a practicing Muslim. However, and we know this, and we don't, could very well be false, but there is kind of been this change, shift in Islam in the last, 5 to 10 years, where they're trying to move away from all the terroristy, yeah, jihadi stuff, and move toward more of the message of love. Now, just like the Bible contains a message of love, there is a message of love in the Quran.
Right.
But it's certainly not the overarching message.
Yeah, it's kind of right? Like picked from the Bible.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the Quran is kind of like picked from other religions.
Yeah. So here's the international perception, what people think. He's continuing to seek legitimacy and distance himself from his extremist origins. Mm-hmm. Probably pretty hard. I mean, it's one thing to try to overcome an embarrassing, old tweet.
Yeah.
This is like...
You're racist.
This guy was
Xbox Live, right.
You know, that time that you had, inflammatory language,
yeah,
in your Xbox, yeah, gamer tag.
Did you call somebody the N-word, yeah, on Modern Warfare?
Right. Or you're throwing around the F slur, that's not...
I F'd your mom language.
Right, this is different than that. Like, this guy was a radical extremist and now is trying to,
so this is like a Paul story.
This is the image he's trying to portray. Is yes, he's like, I know that because of my religious beliefs before, I used to kill a lot of people and say that I was like killing them in the name of God. Now I'm saying I want to serve in the name of God as the leader of Syria and reign with peace and justice and love for all. Is what he's saying.
Fair enough.
The Antichrist will also say the same thing.
Right.
I'm not saying this guy's the Antichrist. Don't get my words twisted. Don't hear what I'm not saying.
He started building the third temple.
right. Yeah. No. So anyway, he's kind of been met with hesitation from most people. Rightfully so. There should be some kind of people, yeah, are a little bit leery, let's say.
Yeah.
But he is trying to rebrand this whole thing. Either way, though, I feel like the fact that he leads a faction of something,
yeah,
is kind of like, still is kind of like, I don't know, man.
That's
still...
in the love and peace and tolerance, but you're overturning a government. It's just contradictory in itself.
Well, it's like we've talked about many times, and what Tolstoy says, that he's Islamic, so he's probably familiar with the teachings of Jesus, although that is not the staple, the cornerstone, sure, of his faith. Like it is ours, but the same thing. It would for Christianity, it would say that it is not our. We're not here to topple governments with force, right? That's like we respond to evil with love. And how? What does that look like? And maybe that's what this looks like. Although I feel like his was a bit militant in
love
his
and
approach,
war.
Right? So I don't know that. So that brought me that when you mentioned that topic, I started reaching into that, and then I realized how it tied into this. Luigi Mangione guy, and
who's Luigi Mangione?
That's the guy that killed the New York CEO, okay, and stuff.
Luigi Mangione.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's, yeah.
Who's his
brother? I'm just hoping that this guy being in the internet brings attention to the fact that Waluigi, my favorite Mario character, has yet to be in a Smash Brothers game.
What?
Which is really just I'll be honest with you, that's a miscarriage of justice right there, because that character was created for that kind of game.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not?
You even kind of look like
Waluigi. I look a little bit more like Wario, I think.
You kind of look like the evil villain off of Sonic. No,
I'm just kidding. And he's not in a Smash Brothers game either, which is crazy.
I know, dude. That's blasphemy.
What's going on? What's going on here?
Nah, this is something interesting I've been thinking about is how in the Quran it says for Christians and Jews to keep their faith and they're righteous in their faith. But also in the Quran, it's Muhammad says to kill people who apostatize. I can't remember the word they use for it, but people who apostatize. And these are like the contradictions. So like, as a Muslim guy taking lead in a country, he's saying love and peace and yada, 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 which the Quran teaches. But the Quran also teaches something different. And people who argue this, about the Bible, they'll say the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, they're always Deuteronomy, it says.
Yeah.
There's a verse in Deuteronomy that says something about if your children go astray from the faith, if they tell you to worship these other gods, these false idols, kill them, strike them dead. And you hear that as a Christian, you're like, whew, that's rough. But also something we're kind of victim to in Christianity now is when Jesus says that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. We think that that means that the Old Testament is still the law we're living by. And that's not what it means. The word fulfill has a different connotation than
it's uphold. Like completing a contract, basically.
Yes.
Is what the word... It's like a contractual obligation has been met,
right.
Essentially.
Yeah. So we no longer sacrifice.
Right.
We repent in a different way. We don't give sacrifice to repent. We repent to the sacrifice.
Right, right.
Which is God. And the New Testament is coherent. The teachings of Jesus is coherent. The teachings of Paul is coherent with the teachings of Jesus.
Yeah.
Paul never condones evil, never condones war or any of this. But right. Muhammad comes 600 years later and contradicts the teachings of Jesus, brings back. So like the Quran is almost like a mix of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they right. even take stuff like the black stone, the pilgrimage that they go and they kiss this black stone. They say Muhammad kissed it. And they almost like worship the stone. They would say they don't worship the stone, and I'll grant them that. But pagan religions before Islam knew of the stone and did the same exact pilgrimage before Islam.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I can't remember what religion it was, but fact check me. Somebody could fact check me. There were these people, these pagan people, that would go to the same exact black stone, do the same exact pilgrimage, kiss and pray to the stone, but they worshipped the stone as God.
Wild.
And I think the belief in Islam is that this stone is under God's throne, so it makes it more of a holy thing, yada, yada, yada. You face the east, and they have all these, like, works and all these read-arounds, and there is stuff. We talked about this in Bible study. I went to your Bible study last week, and we talked about in Ezekiel 43 and 44, where it's describing the dimensions of the temple and how the gate faces outwards towards the east.
Right.
And it says the east, the east, the east. So it's like Muhammad, like, picked these pieces, and I would say this is the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Like, people will say, I watched this Candace Owens interview with Nick Cannon. You know who Nick Cannon is? Yeah. And Nick Cannon's like super spiritual. He's like, live your truth, live your faith. But Candace Owens is talking to him about Jesus.
Yeah.
And she's talking about, it was a hard conversation to listen to because I don't know how much she's really into Jesus. But she's trying to break it down to him. And even Nick Cannon is like taking these things from Jesus, but he calls it like frequencies and this and that. Have you heard people use that type of
language? Oh, yeah, yeah. I listened recently to a guy who was talking about like the seven communication frequencies and stuff. And
yeah, and it's like live on a higher frequency. But something I've noticed in all this is in Christianity, you're not elevating yourself.
Right.
You're elevating God, the one true God. In spirituality, in Islam, you're elevating yourself. You're elevating your practices. In spirituality, the word Nick Cannon was literally using was when somebody's doing a bad thing, elevate yourself to a higher frequency.
Yeah.
Now, when I think do good unto evil, I think it's sinful, I would even say, but I think it's wrong to think that I am doing let me see how I word this. That I am better than this person right, now because right. I have repaid their evil with good.
Yep. Well, and people use that kind of thing. Paul, when he basically quotes Jesus and says that in Romans, he says, by doing so, you'll heap hot coals upon their head.
Yes, I love that verse.
And people think of that as like, oh, I'm going to really make them feel bad because I'm being good when they're being bad.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. He's talking about like reigniting a fire with hot coals.
Yeah, and you can almost flip it and say like, you think of fire. What does fire do? It consumes and catches other things on fire. But if the fire comes to you and you put water on it, then it's out. It's like gone.
Also, Isaiah, when he came into the temple, when he saw the vision of the temple and he sees the holiness of God, he like falls on his face and says, woe is me and my unclean lips.
Yeah.
And an angel comes and brings a hot coal and touches it to his lips and basically says he's like, now he's no longer unclean.
Yeah.
It's that same idea that like purification through the trial. It's not like elevating yourself above somebody else. And I hear a lot of that with especially the new agey spiritualist kind of
faith. I can't stand this new age stuff.
Man. Dude, all of that stuff is very, like they always say, well, like a lot of them believe in Jesus and they're like, but Jesus didn't say he was God. You know, they'll say Jesus didn't say he is God, that kind of nonsense and all that stuff. I could argue with them all day about it. It's not really worth it because they're not changing their mind. I'm not going to convince them otherwise. And it just makes me look like an idiot when I'm just that I feel like I have to argue all the time.
Yeah.
Trying not to do that as much. But anyway, they'll say, you know, Jesus never said he was God. What Jesus was doing was he was teaching us how to be a Christ ourselves. Christ is a...
how to be a God.
Yeah, well, they're saying like Christ is a lifestyle of holiness. And like, and he came and lived a life of the Christ so that we can each one of us be a Christ. And it's like...
But the weird thing is, like, what we were talking about last week is all of these religions have some truth into it. So, like, my dad, I remember before he passed, I was talking to him about Jesus, and I was, like, really getting into Jesus. But he was, like, kind of fake into Jesus, you know what I mean?
Sure.
He was like, I've read the whole Bible, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, right, bro. But he would tell me all the time that all religions are really just pointing towards the same thing. And there is some truth to that. I don't agree with that statement, but there is
some because they all come from the same source. I mean, it's all people trying to worship God, the one true God, and they all just have seen different ways that they get there, or they think that something else is God that's not the true God. And that, I mean, we talked about that last week.
Well, I think a big part of the spirit of the... Oh, I remember what I was saying earlier about that Nick Cannon interview. He kept saying, can you point me to one person that is designing all this evil in the world and this and that and this and that? And I'm doing my laundry. I'm at the laundromat. And I'm almost like screaming at my phone for like Candace Owens to say, it's not a person. It's not a group. It's a spirit. It is a spirit of the Antichrist. And one of the biggest faculties of the spirit of the Antichrist is elevating yourself to the place or the point of God. And this is what we've been talking about with judgment, with righteousness, with forgiveness, thinking that we can ourselves perform works that will in return forgive us.
Oh. That is Satan's sin, is that he wanted to be God.
Yes.
That is the sin that Satan projects onto Adam and Eve, as he says, you can be like God.
Yes.
And that's the temptation he uses. He does the same thing with Jesus, who is a person of the Godhead.
Yes.
He says, I'll give you dominion over all of this.
Yes.
That is always what Satan tempts with. People say that Satanists don't actually worship Satan because they don't believe in Satan. They just worship themselves. But self-worship is Satanism. Worship. It is like that is the keynote of Satanism is self-worship.
Well, think about if you're worshiping Satan, what does Satan want you to believe? I remember somebody said to me once, I can't remember who it was. It might have been you. But like Satan wants us to believe that he's this like red, like half bull, half guy thing with horns and hoofs.
Yeah.
Satan wants us to believe in deceitful thoughts, like believing there is no God. So if you're a Satanist, what else are you supposed to believe? You're supposed to actually believe in God and then think that you're against him? No.
and this goes back to what we were talking about last week about the Nephilim and the fallen angels and all that stuff, and like how I believe all of the mythological gods. Side note, I listened to this musical that people did called Epic about Odysseus, which is like a Greek myth and has all the pantheon of gods in it.
Uh-huh.
It was fire, dude.
Really?
Really good. I'm a big musical guy, though, so I love that kind of stuff. That's a side note. Anyway, speaking of Greek mythology, I
know Waluigi was into musicals.
I said last week that I believe that the mythical gods, the pantheon of gods from all the different faiths and religions, probably were fallen angels or the descendants of fallen angels, because that's the principal personality trait of Satan, is that he wanted to be God. Mm-hmm. So those who followed him, why would they not then in turn make themselves into gods?
Sure.
Right? So, but then now Satan has found that it's way easier to just convince men to make themselves out to be gods.
Yes, because this...
And not in like I have all these magical powers kind of way. In a way that I make all my own choices. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. I live my truth. And I just do what's best for me. That is...
Well, you kind of brushed it off. But there is people that are literally out there that think they have attributes of God. Like, my friend Jordan thinks Jesus was just a spiritually enlightened person. He I can't even explain what my friend believes, man. It's just like he believes in spiritual enlightenment, and he believes the Son is God, and he believes we can be like Jesus. We can do these magical things and like manifestation and this and that. And it's like, dude, this, you're literally falling into the vice of Satan. But the craziest part about it is you think you're elevated above it. Like, you think you're elevated above deceit and manipulation, and you think, you look around and you think Christians and Muslims and all these people are being manipulated into worshiping this God and denying themselves. And this is what is against who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like God. God made us. We're little gods. And it's like people take that out of context when in the Old Testament it says, ye are gods, or Jesus even says that.
Well, because we can all be children of God if we surrender to Christ's lordship.
Right.
Like, it is through him that we can become children of, joint heirs with Jesus, children of God. That does not mean that people will worship us.
And we talked about this in Bible study in Ezekiel. I don't even know. You give these lessons and you have like these thought out questions and stuff, and I always notice the weird stuff. And in that passage, it was talking about the gate, and once God goes through that gate, nobody else can pass through it.
Yeah.
Besides the prince.
Yeah.
And Jesus talks about the gate all the time, and the only way through the gate is through Jesus. And so in the Old Testament, God is showing Ezekiel this vision of nobody can enter through this gate. Nobody besides the prince. So all these people that think they're spiritually enlightened, they're on God's level, God has unlocked their divine third eye, they're not allowed through that gate either.
Yeah.
None of us are allowed through that gate,
yeah.
No matter if you're a good person, no matter if you've turned your life around, no matter, it doesn't, nothing matters.
I hate the good
Christ.
Person argument, dude. People be like, what about me? I'm a good person. I'm like, no, none of us are good people. The only good person was Christ in the flesh as the only perfect, well, pre-fall, Adam and Eve were created perfect human beings, but that's a whole nother topic for another day.
There are good, you can say that.
You have good attributes, maybe, or you sometimes are doing good things.
Yeah, like my friend David that just passed away, when I reminisce about him and I'm talking to people, I was like, man, he was a good guy. But if I said that to him, you know what he would have told me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
So it's like, so when Jesus says there's nobody good but God, do you know who Jay Dyer is?
No.
He's an Orthodox Christian, and he does these like debates with Muslims. I don't really like him. I don't think he exemplifies Christianity, and most of these debaters don't.
No, because they're just arguing and fighting, and it's crazy.
And this is what made, this was my conviction about having a conversation about Islam, because my intent is not to destroy a Muslim person on their theology or to destroy their beliefs, but...
I would actually love to have a Muslim person on the podcast sometime.
That'd be awesome.
And have a discussion.
Because what I want to do is have a discussion. Like
you just said. It's not, we're not trying to do a debate. We want to have a discussion. And that's, I think that is the real, So yeah, if that'd be awesome.
But because the thing is, there are similarities, but because of manipulation, what Muslims accuse Christians of is, in the hadiths after the Quran, it says the Injil was corrupted and this and that. And in the Quran, it says to affirm the Injil, to affirm Jesus, and to affirm the past teachings. And so Islam has grown, and teachers of Islam have said that Christians are corrupted, the Bible's corrupted, we don't have the original Bible. And it's like, we have a lot of similarities. Like, in the Quran, it makes a distinction between angels and this ruha or something like that. I don't know how to say the word, but the word ruha means like spirit. The Holy Spirit is immediately what I think of. Muslims will say it's the angel Gabriel. But there's problems with that too. In the Quran, it says, like, one of the immortal, what is it called in Catholicism? A mortal sin, an unforgivable sin?
Mortal sins, yeah.
One of the mortal sins in Islam is God having a son. And in the Quran, it talks about sons of God, and Jesus calling himself the Son of God.
Yeah.
Would make him a blasphemer, would make him not a prophet. Right. But Muslims still uphold Jesus as a prophet.
Yeah.
So it's just like things that I see as contradictory.
Is it Islam, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, this might be a question for somebody else, but is it Islam that says that Jesus didn't actually die,
yes,
but that someone else died?
It was a
fake Jesus?
Yes. I don't know if it was the Quran or a hadith afterwards that said that, but Muslims practice that Jesus wasn't actually crucified on the cross. And that was one of the big things. Is I was listening to a debate today. There's this guy, Bob, from Speaker's Corner. You got to check him out.
Yeah.
Think about, just remember, next time you think about watching something, Bob from Speaker's Corner. He debates with Muslims, and this one guy was like, there were early Muslims of Jesus' time, and it was this tribe of people who were under the rule of James, Jesus' brother. And weird.
Weird. I heard this. I'll have to do some research on that.
So the Muslim guy is claiming that they didn't believe in the crucifixion, they didn't believe in the Virgin Mary, and a lot of Muslims uphold this tradition. And then this guy, Bob from Speaker's Corner, who actually knows the historicity of these peoples, they actually did believe in the crucifixion. They didn't believe like minor things like the virgin birth. I don't know if that's a minor thing or not, but they didn't believe in stuff like that. But like,
well, okay, so for James, I don't know if I can speak, but for James or Jude, one of the like sons of Mary, to not believe in that, I don't know if that's such a
it wasn't
thing.
It wasn't like, James teaching
that, yeah, right, mom. Right.
It wasn't James teaching that was teaching this, but it would have been like under the authority of James.
Sure.
So they believe there were early Muslims and this and that, and Jesus was a Muslim because he worshipped the one true God.
So
but
stupid.
The thing is, like, the Trinity is misunderstood. And the way I understand it now is God has been revealing himself throughout all of time,
yeah,
in the Trinity,
yes,
in the Holy Spirit, in Jesus, in the burning bush. Jesus,
correct.
Jesus says, or God in the Old Testament says, who do you, like, the prophet asks, like, when I go, who do I say sent me?
Yeah.
And God says, I am.
Yeah.
And Jesus calls himself the I am.
He says, before Abraham was, I am.
Right. So.
And then all the religious guys get all ticked off.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the same. It's literally the same thing the Pharisees were doing in the stories of Jesus.
Yeah.
That Muslims are doing now.
That Christians do even today.
Sure.
Now. Like, that's the thing is. We can say all day long, well, Jesus wasn't a Muslim. Jesus wasn't a Christian either.
Right. Jesus was a Jew.
He is the person who's our, like, he was a Jewish man who, in his deity, was God amongst his people. And then he was the way by which all others come in to get grafted in.
Yeah.
Which is the promise to Abraham from the beginning of the promise to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to do a series on the church and like what the church looks like and all that stuff.
Sure.
And there's a clear distinction there where he's talking to Abraham and he sets up like what it's going to look like, and he sends Abraham out and he says like, go. It's the same thing, basically what he does with his disciples. When Jesus says, go and preach the gospel, go and baptize in my name, he sends Abraham out of the land he's in to tell others about God. Like, that's sure. what God does. It's awesome. So I'm doing this whole thing where I'm going to be talking about Old Testament passages and New Testament passages and how God speaks mm-hmm. the same way.
Yeah.
And, like, that whole thing of Abraham, the promise of Abraham is that he'll become a father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, like, physical children. This is not about, like, and granted, obviously, he had 12 sons, and they split off into the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the whole right. thing. That's awesome. Like, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge lineage.
Right.
But he says the father of many nations. It's that through that covenant that he made with Abraham, then Jesus will come, and through Jesus, even the people that aren't blood related to Abraham
mm-hmm.
can come to a relationship with God.
Well, this is an interesting thing Christians do now, is like the Hebrew Israelites who believe the God we worship is the God
now
of
Now, that's
only.
The videos I watch a lot.
I do,
those
too.
Those are fire, dude.
Those are crazy.
Did I tell you about the time? I think I did. About the time I almost got in a fight with some
in
of those
New
guys.
York?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean to. It just, I was intrigued. It was the first time I'd ever heard of it. I was intrigued by it. My buddy's like, no, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him.
The hard thing about it is that they won't even, they deem, like, preaching the gospel to white people as casting their pearls onto swine. Because white people can't inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Because white people are pigs, bro.
Yeah, well, because white people are the whore of Babylon. And we are not God's children. We're Satan's children and this and that. But what the Hebrew Israelites do that a lot of other nations have done, like these Greek gods and all these gods, is they're the god of a place. They're not the capital G God. And the cool thing about the God we worship is he has always professed to be the capital G God.
Yes, yes.
He uses words like the God of Israel, the Lord of Israel, and stuff like that. But there's other verses where he's obviously proclaiming to be the God of all people. And when Jesus comes in God's revelation, and this is another different thing about how God has revealed himself that we believe in Christianity versus Islam, is Islam believes God has only revealed himself through prophets, and Jesus would have been a prophet to them in mm-hmm. his word. So they believe the Quran is the inherent word of God. And I may be a little off the trail from Christianity on the Bible. I think, like, I don't think Job was a real person. I think Job is a parable. The book of Job is a parable, a lesson. But the Quran is meant to be taken literally. Like, in the Quran, Muhammad says something about some guy that goes to the end of the earth and he sees the sun set in a pool of mud. And it's like, how do you take stuff like that literally? And that's the scary thing about, that's the scary thing about Islam, man, because it teaches peace and love, but it also teaches jihad. It teaches war and dominance. And right back into what we were talking about earlier about self-serving, how we want to be self-serving even in our faith. Christians do it too, like the Crusades and this and that. But the time of Muhammad, the time of Islam, they had a nation. Like they were kings, leaders of nations. And yeah. this is the interesting thing about like the preservation of the Bible. They used to write on this like weird paper. I don't know the name of it. Do you know anything about this?
Like the papyrus?
Papyrus. Yeah. And it was like degradable. It didn't last. But the yeah. time of Muhammad, they would have been writing on animal skins at that point, which lasts forever. It's incorruptible. So Muslims say Christians don't have original manuscripts. But we also don't have original manuscripts from Muhammad, from the original Quran.
Right.
Which is a little dicier because they would have had actual original manuscripts of the Quran. So, like, the whole argument, like, there's arguments against Christianity from Islam that just don't make sense. It's like you're grasping for straws. We right. don't have the original manuscripts. Well, we don't have the original manuscripts of the Quran either.
Right.
So, I think what it comes down to is theological differences. Saying stuff like, the Trinity is invalid, we believe in one God. Well, Christians believe in one God, too.
Yeah.
We're not polytheists. That's like a facetious word that you use against us, is that we're polytheists.
Well, and that's where, like, modern day Jews will do the same thing with that same. They'll say, take the passage where God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one."
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, and we understand that to mean like the Trinity, like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one being, three persons.
Right.
They say that that is him saying that there's only one part to him, and we are polytheists by saying that there's multiple facets.
Well, Jesus says, I think it was on the cross, he says to the Father, he says something like, make them one, like I am one with you.
Yeah. Yeah, so here's the thing. When we think of God created us in his image,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've said this before, probably on the podcast, so if you remember this already, sorry I'm repeating it, but it seems relevant to this conversation. I am spirit, body, and mind, right? Like this, like all of it is me. Right. My mind is me, my body is me, my spirit is me. Like all of that is me, mm-hmm. but there's different aspects, right? That's kind of like, again, there's no perfect analogy for the Trinity, but that's the best I've come up with, is like all of it is God.
Mm-hmm.
There's God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son is mm-hmm. the physical manifestation. So it's like,
well, if you think about it, like the brain and the body, like your arm can't do something that your brain doesn't will it to do. You know what I mean? So it's like one God, one being, one essence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three persons. They all share the same divinity. They all, but the Father God has authority over the Son God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit God. But they're all still one. It's like your brain, your hands, your feet, and your voice.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And anyone who's like, but Jesus, he prays to the Father.
Yeah.
I don't know how that is still even an argument. Maybe not, and not every. I want to have a whole conversation about how the mind works and how it's different for people
mm-hmm.
another day. We are way out of time for that. But think of it this way. At least for me, when I'm thinking, it's like I'm talking to myself.
Right.
like that, your voice. I'm hearing my voice in my head as my thoughts are processing. That's not everyone, but that's a topic for another day. But how would that be different? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is... that. For people to be like, well, then he'd be talking to himself when he's praying. Well, when I am thinking, I am talking to myself.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, Jesus has always been in communion with the Father.
Right.
So what would change when he came, when God came to earth? It is three different persons, so we have to admit it's three different persons, but one essence. But, like, where does this idea come from that God has to be... like one person, like it's God.
Or that he has to follow the rules of physical, like what we think of as normal.
Yes, because God is unimaginable. I mean, all the Old Testament prophecy where a prophet sees God, they always fall on their face. They can't stand to even imagine it.
Yeah.
You hear testimonies about people who claim to see heaven and this and that, and it's like crazy. Some of them, I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, some of them are a little dicey, like that little boy that goes to heaven in that movie.
Right, right.
And stuff like that. But, like, all these prophets, they can't even comprehend God. But we, like, put God in this box, and I'm not arguing for polytheism. That is not what I'm arguing.
Right.
I'm not saying, like, why can't God be three gods?
Right, right.
No,
right.
He's one God, three persons, one divine will. Like, they all three persons operate on the same will. They all are body parts operating off the same brain.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so... I don't think that's that hard to comprehend, but Jesus says when he's on the boat and he like walks on the water and gets on the boat and stops the storm from happening.
Yeah.
And they fall down and start worshiping him. And he says like, blessed are you, for flesh and blood didn't reveal these things to you, but the Spirit revealed these things to you.
Yeah.
And it is only the Spirit that can make sense of this stuff, man. And my thing is not to demolish Islam or to poop on Muhammad. You know, like people are, like the pedophilia argument. And recently I've been hearing this argument, this hadith, about Muhammad getting raped by like six demons or something like that. And it's like, I don't care about that type of stuff, man. I don't care about delegitimizing the prophet Muhammad or this or that. But what I care about is legitimizing Jesus and what he taught and what his disciples taught. And if you don't understand that and you just write off Jesus, it's like Christianity, this is something I critique Christians on, is writing off Judaism.
Yeah.
And hating Jews. They're like, Jews are the people who killed Jesus. Right. And it's like, no, it was people just like
people
you.
People like you.
Like
killed
me.
Jesus. Yeah.
Like we That's, would have been those people. Paul killed Jews.
Yeah.
Or Christians.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Paul was no better. It's like, and this is right full circle. Paul comes to Christ and he has this same realization that we've been having after, to our own detriment, we should have realized this sooner, but after reading this Tolstoy book, it's like Paul, before he was saved, killed Christians in the name of God.
Yeah.
Similar to Muslims.
Yeah.
He's saved, and he realizes that's not the path anymore.
Yeah.
And he dies serving God in a peaceful way.
Yep.
He argues with people. He reasons with them in Acts. He reasons with the Jews. But he never waged war against them or held uprisings or this or that. And this is how we live as Christians, how we should.
Yeah.
I think.
I love that. That's good stuff, man.
That was hearty.
Yeah, that was a heavy talk, but good talk. I love that kind of stuff. I love when we get to just have real talk. That's kind of the whole thing, right?
Real faith, real talk, real...
Real life, real faith, real talk.
Waluigi.
Real
How do you
Waluigi.
Say his name?
Waluigi.
That's a mouthful, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Waluigi.
Yeah, you need to do your research on Waluigi, bro.
Stop blaspheming the Waluigi spirit.
You need to know about that guy. Well, I want to just remind everybody that, one, that we're not hating on Muslims here. My desire... It's like God's desire that all would come to with that, though, I want to remind you that God's truth is stay religious, stay focused, the law, and the